Seek and read from the book of the Lord. Not one of these shall be missing, none shall be without her mate. For the mouth of the Lord has commanded, and his spirit has gathered them. He has cast the lot for them, his hand has portioned it out to them with the line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation they shall dwell in it. The wilderness and dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. When Jesus came to the earth, we got a taste of the fulfillment of this. The eyes of the blind being opened, the deaf hearing, the healing that went on as he performed various miracles. We got a taste. And we got the path set before us. The fact is that as Jesus came into the world, the kingdom of God came to the world. Jesus made the way for us to be a part of those who walk upon the path that Isaiah is talking about. Do we see the full fulfillment of this? The wonders of the nice places that it talks about here, the deserts becoming pools and all of that stuff? Well, not yet. But we're on the path. Jesus has made the way. He has come to redeem us. He has come to save us. He has come to give us the way to come to our God and know, have the hope that we can dwell with Him forever in the wonder of the new heavens and new earth that He will bring about as He completes the work. Why hasn't it come? Why didn't He just bring it in right there? Well, He would have left you out. He's still bringing people to Himself, bringing people to be a part of that perfect world that He will create as we go to be with Him. Is there suffering now? Yes. Are there problems that we face now? Yes. But He's made the way for us. He has set us upon the path. And we're going to a place that is far better than what it is here. But we need to live for Him now as we walk along that path. Trust in what Jesus has done. He came, He lived His righteous life, and He died upon the cross that you might be saved, that you might be redeemed, that the penalty for your sin might be paid. Live for Him. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray that we will understand the gospel the good news that you have come, that you have died upon the cross for our sins and given us your righteousness. And help us to live as those who have been redeemed, who have been bought with a price. Help us to live and walk upon the path that you have laid before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 38, Selection A. Now, we sang from Psalm 145b, and it talks about the compassion of God and the wonderful things that he gives us. Psalmist always doesn't talk about those things, though, because sometimes he's in a pit. And Psalm 38, he is in a pit. And he's having trouble seeing the wonders of what we just sang about in 145. Now, we'll be singing, first of all, selection A, and he'll still be in the pit at the end. So, you know, but take care. After the sermon, we'll be singing 38C, and he looks finally at the one who will be able to take him from that pit, the one who will be able, who is able to save him. Do you ever feel like you're in that pit? Do you ever feel like you're down, depressed? Stanza 4, loathsome are my wounds, neglected. My own folly makes it so. Bowed with pain, with grief dejected, all day long I mourning go. Do you ever feel like that? Sometimes it's from the circumstances that are around us that bring us down. Sometimes it's from knowing our own hearts and how we fail to measure up. My own folly makes it so. But in either case, God can raise you up. And God gives a people around you to help do that, to raise you up, to lift you up to where you can see the wonder of God's grace. Psalm 38, Selection A, please stand to sing. Our text this morning is from Hebrews chapter 12. I'll be reading verses 12 to 13. Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. May God bless the reading of His Word. I need a volunteer. Stephen Folkerts, could you...
Thank you for volunteering. Here, I'm sorry for that. Now, you're running a race. This is a long race. And you're at the point where you're just exhausted. It's like what we call the bump. But you're just exhausted. And so your arms, instead of being up there, running and helping with the energy pushing you forward, they're starting to droop. So your joints start to droop. Now your knees, and you go down again, but just listen carefully. Your knees are starting to wobble. They're starting to wobble. They're starting to. You're just about falling. You see the end, but you're not sure you can make it. And as you travel down toward the end, your knees keep buckling under. And you cry out to God saying, God, can you help me? And as you're doing that, you're just about to crumble to the earth. And you just keep going and you wonder, God, what are you going to do? Are you going to help me or not? And you can turn around and start coming back a little bit.
You know, sometimes people in the church are like that. And the writer of Hebrews is talking about someone who's just like that. He says, therefore. Now, what's he referring to? Well, he's just talked about the discipline of God. He starts off this chapter about running a race, like Stephen was doing. And he talks about the discipline of God. And you know, it's not easy as you're going through it. It's hard. It's difficult. It's painful even. But in the end, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Then he says, therefore. It's hard going through the discipline. Therefore. He looks at the people of God. He looks at the church of God. And he says, therefore. The drooping hands and the weak knees. What are you to do? You're to raise them up. You're to lift them up. You're to restore that person who's having difficulty, who's struggling. You're to lift them up, to raise them up. And not only that, not only lift them up, but make the path a little better too. See, sometimes those circumstances of life are so difficult that we can't handle it on our own. And so God calls the church to both lift up the person who's struggling and help to clear the path before them so that they can go to where God wants them to be. Now, as Stephen was out there struggling, should he have been left alone in his struggle? Now, there are many reasons why you might not have gotten up and gone out and helped him. Like, what is this guy trying to prove?
Or this is stupid. Why are we going through this? Or maybe, oh, if I would go out there, but I feel embarrassed. Do we have those same questions when we see a fellow brother or sister in Christ struggling? Do we sit back and say, well, someone else should do it? Do we sit back and say, well, I don't want to interfere? Do we sit back and say, well, I see the need, I see the problem, but I'm not sure I'm the one who God wants to help that person? Do we have excuses for not lifting the drooping hands and strengthening the weak knees? Now, here, some will read this in English, therefore lift your drooping hands, and say, well, it's talking to the person that's there, and that person should lift their hands. They should sit up straight. They should take their weak knees and bolster them. They should do it on their own. But I don't think that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. He's using the plural here, which could be each one of you should do this. But I think he's directing this at the church that he's talking to. I think he's saying to everyone who is sitting in the church, look out for your brother. Look out for your sister. Look at how someone is walking on that path and how they might be struggling as they're running the race that God has set before them. As they're running it, they need to be looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of their faith. They need to be looking at what Jesus did, thinking about the fact that he came and he suffered and died on the cross for their sins. They need to see him as an example. But they're not alone. It's a church. And there's others within the church that should be looking and saying, this person needs a hand. This person needs to be lifted up.
Tim Keller just wrote a book on suffering. And one of the reasons that he wrote it was that all of us are either in suffering now, there's something going wrong now, or there will be. The fact is that this world is stained by sin. That death is a result of the sin from Adam and Eve on up through. That there is suffering in this world. All of us are touched by suffering at one point or another. You're either in it now, or you will be, or you know someone else who is in it now. And we need to be looking out for those within our midst who are suffering and need to be lifted up or need to have that path straightened out before them. Keller says, no amount of money, power, and planning can prevent bereavement, dire illness, relationship betrayal, financial disaster, or a host of other troubles from entering your life. Human life is fatally fragile and subject to forces beyond our power to manage. Life is tragic. We all know this intuitively, and those who face the challenge of suffering and pain learn all too well that it is impossible to do so using only our own resources. We all need support if we are not to succumb to despair. What happens when you're in the midst of suffering? Well, an unbeliever, Keller recounts, starts to lament. How could a loving God let this happen? Now, this is one who, just a moment before, had dismissed God, not living for God. And yet, when it comes time to deal with suffering, how could a loving God let this happen? In an instant, she went from indifference to God to anger toward him. It is this kind of experience that has led a host of thinkers to argue as the writer Stendhal did, that the only excuse for God is that he doesn't exist. Do you know people who are like that? Who look that way upon things? Who don't look to God for guidance, who don't look to God for salvation, and yet they blame God for everything that's going on in the world. And they say the only excuse for God is that he doesn't exist. But at the same time, Keller writes, I learn that just as many people find God through affliction and suffering. It is often the result of affliction, it's often the result of suffering, that people's eyes are open to the fact that they need someone beyond themselves. The fact that they need someone to take them from that place where they are afflicted, where they are suffering, and put them on a path that they can't understand in and of themselves. Keller continues, over the years, I also came to realize that adversity did not merely lead people to believe in God's existence, it pulled those who already believed into a deeper experience of God's reality, love, and grace. And that should be what happens as we as a church do what the writer of Hebrews calls us to do. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. In Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3, read this way in the ESV. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name forever. Now, the Psalter uses poor for humble. Let the poor hear and be glad. The Red Psalter actually used meek. Let the meek hear and be glad. Not quite in those words, but it uses meek for that word. The NIV has a different rendering, and that's afflicted. Let the afflicted hear and be glad. Now, how can we get these different translations? It could also be, actually, let the depressed, and that's the root idea, is just someone's getting pushed down. Depressed. Now, the word then can take on that meaning of being humble, realizing that we aren't above everything, and so we're humble, we're meek, but it can also have the idea of being afflicted. Let the afflicted be glad and magnify the Lord as they see the wonder of grace even in the midst of affliction. Let us exalt his name together. The Bible doesn't see us going through the furnace of suffering alone. What happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were put into the fiery furnace? The wonder was that as those that were looking on looked in the furnace, they saw another figure in there. We don't go through the furnace of affliction alone. We go through it with our God. We go through it with God being there, helping us. We go through it knowing that God himself, Jesus Christ, went through the furnace of affliction as he came to earth, as he died on the cross for our sins. He has gone before us. Let us follow after him and realize the wonder of his grace and the wonder that he is still carrying us along and helping us through. Isaiah chapter 43, I'd like to read verses 1 through 3. But now says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Remember what the writer of Hebrews just pointed to? Have you forgotten what is addressed to you as sons? That you will see the Lord's discipline. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. When we walk through the fires, God is with us. And not only is God with us, but God's people are with us to carry out His will and to do what He calls us to do and lift up those whose arms are drooping, whose knees are failing, to lift them up and help them along the path. This passage talks about helping in two ways. First of all, the lifting up. Okay, so as Stephen was out there, what could someone have done? We could have had two people on either side of him, lifting him up, straightening him up, and carrying him out to the end. You know, we sometimes want to sit back and just watch. But don't watch someone crumple to the ground in the Christian life from the pain that's around them. Make sure that you're looking out for one another and lifting up those who need it. So first of all, lifting up. And then secondly, the second part, is to straighten out. To straighten out the path that's before them. To help with the circumstances of life so that they can walk the path that will restore them to a right relationship with God and restore them to a place where they can run the race with perseverance. That race that is laid out before them. So first of all, to lift up. Could you have stepped out and helped Stephen? No one did. That's okay. But if someone's hurting in our congregation, can you step out and help? We are called to help those with drooping hands and weak knees. We're called to lift them up, to straighten them up. Now, both parts of this, both in 12 and 13, use the word ortho. What's ortho mean? Well, it means to straighten. So, someone who straightens up the bones is called an orthopedist. But it's called to straighten. Well, this is to straighten up. So you could have lifted Stephen up by both arms and straightened him up so that then he could get back on the path and run the path. So lift up. And then in verse 13, the same root is used, but it's the idea of straightening out the path that's before. So in both senses, it's to straighten. One is to straighten up the person. The other is to straighten out the path that's before them. This passage is talking about supporting our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, there are many other passages in Scripture that talk about helping the poor and the needy in general, in the world, those who are afflicted because of the sin of the world, helping those out there. And there are many that talk about how we need to reach out and go out and share the good news of the gospel with those who need it, with those who need to be saved. But here it's talking about those within the church, who are on the path, but are struggling on the path. So as we look at people, first of all, are they on the path? If they aren't on the path, then share the gospel. If they aren't on the path, then make sure they know the good news of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. If they aren't on the path, then the first thing is to recognize that they need Jesus. They are on the path. Call them back to that. Help them to look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of their faith. Help them to Think about what Jesus has done in suffering for them so that they can go through the suffering that they're facing. We need to see that people are getting on the path, and then we need to help them to run the path that God has laid before them. Now, if they're on the path, there are some qualifiers to helping. If a man will not work, neither let him eat. If the person says that they're a believer in Jesus Christ, but they're not willing to do anything that God calls them to do, then maybe they need a little more affliction to get them back on. But that we only bring that in when something is obvious and when the need is actually to a wake-up call. So there are some qualifiers, but we need to reach out the hand to help. We need to have our eyes open to those in need and help straighten them up. Now, can someone go too far in that? Do we have busybodies within the church sometimes who are looking at everyone and saying, oh, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong? Well, yeah, that can happen too. And that person needs to be talked to and say, you know, you need to realize that all of us have our faults. But look at the direction that people are going. And that's the key. Are they falling down and losing their ability to go in the direction they need to go? That's where we need to lift them up and help them out. And so, everything, like everything, we can go too far one way or another, but we can't go too far in showing the grace of God to those who are around us. If someone comes to you and asks how you are doing running the race, should you be offended by that? Oh, what do you mean? Don't you think I'm doing the best I can? No, don't be offended. Look at the love of the brother or sister who's coming to you and see how then you can take that and you can be lifted up. You can be set right upon the path. Your drooping hands and your weak knees lift up. Look to do that for those around you. And be responsive to people who are seeking to help you do that. Lift up the drooping hands and the weak knees. And then straighten out, verse 13. And make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Have you ever had something put out of joint? When my ankle went out of joint. There were a couple other problems. As soon as it went out of joint, it snapped my fibula. So there's other problems when you put something out of joint. And not only that there's scars left from that. When something goes out of joint, there it creates other problems, but it also leaves a scar that's there. My finger, when it got put out of joint, you may notice it doesn't look quite the same as my other one. There's something that's left there afterward. When it's out of joint, it can't be used at all. I couldn't walk on my foot on my leg when my ankle was, or my foot was pointed out to the side. It hurt a little. You can't use that if it's put out of joint. As we're looking at the people who are around us, who are in the church, is there someone who is about to become out of joint? Is there someone who is off the path to the point where they're going to have a difficulty that's there? Well, we try and catch them before that happens, so that the lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. But even if they are put out of joint, healing's the key. We need to bring them back on. Straighten out the joint that's out of place, that's dislocated, and allow the healing process to begin. Might there be scars? Yes. But we need to see the healing. We need to see how those who have been scarred by the things of this life can start to run the race again. be put on the right path to run the race. How do we do that? Well, first of all, having a right perspective on the things that are around us. We need to have a true Christian worldview. We need to see this world in the way that God does. If we look out on this world and just see the despair, just see the problems, just see the way that the world is going away from God, then we're going to get tripped up. We need to see this world through God's eyes, as He has compassion, as Psalm 146 talked about, as He has compassion on those who are out there and how He wants to reach that world with the wonder of His grace. We don't look at the world as sort of this pie in the sky, everything's okay, but we look at the world as something that God is seeking to redeem, to bring back to Himself. And we look at people as those whom God desires to redeem. If we have that view, then the realities of life, the struggles of life, the discipline of God can be brought together so that we can see where He's taking us and where He's taking those around us. We also need the right tools. We need to study God's Word together so that we have the tools we need to deal with the realities that are there, to deal with the things of this life. We need to study God's Word so that we are ready when the time comes to apply that word to the situations of this life. We need the right tools. And we need the right attitude. The afflicted or the humble will hear and be glad. We can live this world in joy, with joy. The joy that comes from knowing the God who loves us, the God who sent His one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins, the God who redeemed us, who bought us with a price, and has placed us on the path that He wants us to run. And then we turn and help others. We help straighten out the path that's before them, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Look around. See how you can help straighten out the path before your brothers and sisters in Christ to help them to run the race until its end. Look for healing to be part of that process. Those who have been hurt by things of this world, those who have been hurt by people from this world, those who have been hurt by the circumstances of life, watch the healing that comes. As they put all of those things into the right perspective and seeing how God is moving them closer and closer to Himself. Where does God want us to move? He wants us to move to the point where we can share in His holiness. That's the direction we're going. That's the reason for His discipline, so that we can share in His holiness and see the peaceful fruit of righteousness that comes as a result. Look for the healing. Be a part of the process and God working that healing out in His people. Help those around you to run a straight race. Let's pray. O Lord, open our eyes to the needs of those who are around us. Help us as we run the race that You have set before us to run it with strong arms and strong knees. To lift up those who are around us and to make straight paths for the feet. Lord, enable us to be used of You, to grow by Your grace as we see the discipline that You give to us, to help others to grow as we run the race together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.